Okay, so I have a topic that I have not really fully told you about.
Yeah, I hear there's a surprise involved.
Yeah, we actually had another topic, and I would love to talk about that at some point soon. But something happened yesterday. I bought something that I didn't think I was going to buy, and it just needs to be, it needs to be a topic. It needs to be something that I shared with you. I actually wanted to share it with you all day today. So here is something that I bought. I'm sending it to you via iMessage.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Can you describe what you what you're seeing?
Well, I actually thought I was seeing a Newton,
Mm.
but what it looks like I'm seeing is some sort of contemporary device
That's right.
in the
Yes.
form factor of the Newton
Yeah.
that has a little calculator screen and a full-size keyboard, or I hope it's a full-size keyboard.
It is. I bought a dedicated word processor. It is something called the Alpha Smart Neo 2, and it is basically a keyboard with a crappy calculator-esque green-gray screen that we are familiar with from the late 90s, early 2000s, right?
Yes.
And all that this little thing does is write. It is a typewriter brought into the very, very early 2000s. And you weren't wrong to say Newton, because I actually was like researching Newtons too. And what was the one that was like, it had a touch screen? It was the Mac. Was it an eMac or
The
something?
eMate. That's actually specifically what I thought I was looking at.
Yeah, I genuinely was eBaying or searching eBay for eMates, but I decided not to go that route. I decided instead to get this thing, the Alpha Smart Neo 2, mainly because it was $10 on eBay. So these things aren't like expensive. I'm not going down some rabbit hole and spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars. These are cheap. But I did not expect to start the future, like that's what 2020 is in my head,
Yes, we're in it now.
by going retro and buying a dedicated word processor machine. But that's where I'm at with technology, and I feel like I need to talk to you about why I feel the way I do about every device that I own right now.
I have lots of questions about that.
Ask away.
Well, what is this for? What are you doing on this calculator screen?
Okay, so let's go back a little further, which is I just moved. So I moved out of Reading, where I've lived for 4 years, and I moved to Los Angeles. And I don't have a house yet. I'm like doing the weird nomadic Airbnb thing, hopping from Airbnb to Airbnb until we like really settle down. But settling down doesn't feel far away. It feels like that'll happen soon. And you know, like when you move, you put everything in boxes and you reconsider what you want to bring out of the boxes and put places. And I'm just realizing that over the last few years, like the things that I do creatively have just totally fallen apart. Like, I haven't taken photos in years. I haven't written blogs in years. I haven't done any of the things that make me feel good and provide meaning in a long time, because all of the ways that I enjoy creating have like fallen apart. And I've talked to you about this before. Like, where would I put my photos? I don't want to put them on Instagram. I don't care about that. I don't know how to do the sharing piece. But I guess I just got frustrated with the idea that I'm supposed to wait until everything is perfect to start creating again. But I'm also recognizing that the way that I've set up my life technologically does not set me up well to actually create. It sets me up to browse Twitter for 3 hours. It sets me up to distract myself for far too long. And so, yeah, this impulse buy $10 2007 Alpha Smart Neo 2 is a way of me trying to reclaim technology from distraction. And I'm like really excited about it. Now, I bought this, this picture that I sent you is like a picture I swiped off of Google Images. I bought this on eBay last night. It has not yet arrived. So I am still in that blissful state where everything is perfect and idyllic and exactly as I dream it will be. I don't know how the Alpha Smart actually will be, but like it just felt like this symbolic desire for me to reclaim technology as a creative tool, not a distraction tool.
Well, I certainly sympathize with the impulses. I have also made a hardware purchase lately, namely my first blank notebook in a year or so, which is a remarkable stretch of time to have gone without buying blank notebooks.
Right.
And I have 100 of them. So I don't. So, you, but you know how it is with blank notebooks. Like, you need a new one in order to start using them again.
Yeah.
I did that. And I have my typical practice of like, I'm going to do this every day has already gone out the window. I couldn't get started, and then I did it one day and I was like, wow, that was painful. And so I haven't really been working on that. But the impulse to get away from the digital tools to find some place where I'm disconnected from distractions, where I'm not getting new inputs of information and I just have like sort of what I have within me to work with. I'm really feeling all of that very strong. I don't even know what medium to work in. I've been thinking about getting a bass again, which I haven't really played much since college, but the decision to pick up the bass instead of trying my luck as a guitar player in college was the most consequential creative decision I've ever made in my life. It resulted in the most work, in the most output, and in the most, connections and relationships and shows and songs and even money, if greater than $0 counts as making money as an artist. And everything I did on the guitar in the sort of guitar phase of my life that came like 5 years later was things I brought back from that bass experience. So like I'm reaching out in the same way as you are, for the same reasons, both for what I'm reaching towards and what I'm running away from. And the tools are clearly a huge factor. I want to talk ultimately about what to use them for, like I think you and I suffer from the same affliction of just like needing to make something, but like what it is maybe doesn't matter always, or like, you know, as long as we made something that we can feel like we've accomplished something by making. I do think that there's some unresolved thing there, at least for me, of like, what is it that I should be making all the time with these tools? And I want to get to that. But the fact that the tools themselves pose this such an impediment and are such a dependency for whether or not we feel like we can do this, it's still so perplexing given how like infinite the capabilities supposedly are, and the variety of form factors we have at our disposal at any given time, the number of tools we can choose for the job and the number of software tools we can choose on those hardware tools for the job. We've been making a hobby out of just trying to optimize it for like many, like, you know, 10 years now. And to still be in this place is sort of upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like I'm beginning to make peace with it in a weird way, because this weird word processor thing came out of me watching a film yesterday. It was Just Mercy, for the record, which is like a court drama film that's in theaters right now. And it takes place in the early 1990s, and it's this lawyer working tirelessly to free innocent people off of death row. And one of the big, like, gotcha moments in the film revolves around him finding tapes and listening to these tapes of a person's testimony on a tape recorder. And I sat watching this scene and thought, I kind of wish I had a tape recorder, which is like a weird thing to think again in 2020, right? Like, if you could go back to 1992 and tell this guy, hey, you could actually have a device where like everything's on your person at all times and you don't have to go down to the courthouse 45 minutes away and get the tapes and make a copy. And, you know, like it, we obviously live in better times than they did, right? But the idea of having dedicated tools for certain specific things has so much charm and appeal to me. And I guess the thing that I'm realizing is we're both people that have really fallen for the iPad over, you know, the course of its life, and have found ourselves dedicating more and more time to the iPad than the Mac. And I've actually found myself going backwards over the last 6 months and spending way more time on my MacBook than on the iPad. And I feel like that is a part of the reason why I'm doing that is because the iPad is becoming popular. And for it to become popular means that it has to do everything for everybody. Mm. And as things have to do everything for everybody, they become worse and worse at doing the dedicated things that you wanted it to do. When the iPad was just used by nerds and it had workflow, I'm already forgetting what it was called, right, before shortcuts, you could ask the nerds to make all of these crazy specific shortcuts that fulfilled your specific needs. I had this crazy workflow, I think it was a workflow, that was like Ulysses to something else to WordPress, like, you know, I could click a page on Safari and then it would immediately fill a Ulysses page with all the right information, and then I could click share and then it would go on WordPress, and it was like amazing. And it's like, I don't think that I can do that anymore. Like, I mean, maybe I could make a shortcut to do it, but I don't think I can find the nerd community to make it happen anymore because they've moved on to different things, or shortcuts is now able to do 1,000 things instead of 12 things, but now it does those 12 things worse. Like, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I'm just recognizing, like, yeah, now that this device is being used by way more people than when I was the one using it, it's not quite as good as it used to be for me. And I just think I'm making my peace with that and recognizing that the way that I want to do things might require me to have singular tools for singular tasks if I want to feel like it's an enjoyable process. But while at the same time, like, to use that tape recorder analogy, I there might be a time in my life where I go out and buy a tape recorder, but I'm really glad that I have voice memos on my phone.
Yeah.
Like, super glad that I have that. I just don't know if I want to put everything in voice memos forever. I don't know if it's good enough for that.
The indisputable thing is that as Apple software has scaled up to the billion users that they have now, the complexity of it has made things buggy beyond belief.
Yeah.
And that the main thing I feel like I've lost since 10 years ago is any stability or reliability in the system. Like, I don't feel like I use the device in that much more complicated a way compared to before, you know, like, even when, like, as soon as there was copy and paste on iOS, I was basically good to go. And, like, right, you know, it may have been a little slower than working on my Mac, and, like, that may still be the case, but I've gotten used to it, and I barely use any capabilities that, like, feel like they're pushing the edge of what it's capable of. But because all of those edges are there, things are just broken all the damn time. And, like, I think I've talked a bit on our show here about the drive back to first party apps from, you know, we used to be so intrepid about trying all the new third party apps, and whenever a new one in a category we already were into came out, we would try it just for the sake of seeing what it was like, and maybe use it for 6 months or maybe use it for 2 years, and then, you know, go move back onto something else. In the past 2 years, I've come back to Apple software just for the state, like, for just out of the same kind of overwhelm that we're talking about, of just feeling like I need everything to be simpler and work out of the box, and I'm tired of setting up. I know we've definitely talked about being tired of, like, customizing and automating and doing all these, like, ninja things just to get our setup working.
Right.
But in the past 2 to 6 months, I've started to go back because the Apple software is just so terrible in so many cases. And in a lot of cases, which you and I talk about all the time, by talk about, I mean text each other infuriating screenshots and screen recordings of, like, it's the operating system itself that's broken, and there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, we're not going to try another. I mean, I'm certainly not going to buy a Surface. I'm sure it's just as infuriating.
Yes, it is. I tried it 2 years ago and it was awful.
Yeah. So, like, there's nothing you can do about that, but, like, I can't use the podcasts app anymore. I've gone back to Overcast because I'm just so sick and tired of it. And I've just made such a huge deal and wrote this huge popular blog post about moving from OmniFocus back to the new Reminders, and it's full of bugs, man. It's just, it's, and it's not, the thing that kills me is that it's not features that I'm not moving back to third-party apps because of features. Like, the Apple apps have all the features that I want. They just don't work. they don't work at all, or they work 75% of the time, which, as anyone who's used a computer knows, anything working 75% of the time is more annoying than it never working at all.
Yes, so it's the worst.
Like, I'm so sick of fighting these devices. And you know, some of it has driven me back to the Mac a little bit too. I'm just not doing enough on my computers. Like, the portability factor of the iPad is enough to keep me using the iPad for the newsletter. And like, you know, this is the only thing I do. This podcast is the only thing I do that requires me to sit in front of my Mac for any period of time. If I were doing more intensive work, I would definitely be like more enthusiastically getting back into my Mac workflows and trying to see if like the good old stable 30-year-old platform is any better. But it's rubbing off on the entire experience of using computers for me. And you know, that's not even to touch the sort of media and, you know, like the social media dynamics that we talk about all the time, like the cultural stuff. Like, though, these two things combining, the like inability for the software to scale to like something that everyone on earth uses every day without falling down all the time, and the culture's inability to do the exact same thing, is just driving me offline. Like, in my heart, I'm not using my phone any less than I was before, but I have the aspiration to just sort of be in an analog world again. And like, work wise, I'm thinking about it. And, you know, certainly creatively, you know, it just doesn't feel like I could have any more surplus in my digital life. Like, I have all of the capacity and all the tools that I should need to be making all this creative stuff that I want to make, and I'm not doing it. And it's got to just be because of the friction and the malaise and the frustration. So the idea of dedicated tools for doing specific things that I experience as tools rather than as computers that have that have certain capabilities, like, that part of what's so appealing to me about it is how much it simplifies the mental model.
Totally.
Like, the idea of just writing on the thing that's just for writing.
Yes. I feel like I've had so many conversations over years now of people saying it would be nice to have a dumb phone or to have a dumb phone and an iPhone. Like, it would be nice if I could turn off my iPhone and have a dumb phone and take it in different places. And, you know, you and I have had conversations not specifically about that, but about like the Apple Watch being able to kind of take over the role of the iPhone, right? Like, you are able to put your phone down and go for walks and do all kinds of things and have the best parts of the iPhone on your wrist instead of in your pocket. And that seems to be great for you. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the problem with that has always been, like, yeah, the idea of the iPhone is flawed in that it is so distracting because of things like Twitter for me, you know? Like, of course, that's true. But the good is so good that it just outweighs all of that. That's how I've always felt. Like, I'm not going to go and get a T9 phone because that's an insane thing to do, because we all have iPhones and people expect me to have an iPhone, and I'm not going to give up this amazing camera and this communication device and this amazing e-reader and everything else that it is just because I get distracted sometimes. But but I did this thought experiment as I placed the impulse buy for this $10 AlphaSmart Neo 2. I always have a backpack on me. And what if I really didn't have a phone? What if instead of having a phone in my backpack, I had my really amazing Leica camera that I haven't taken a photo with in a year and a half, and this AlphaSmart Neo 2, and like three or four other tools? If I had all of those tools in my backpack and I didn't have a phone on me, would that feel better? And I think the answer is would feel better. Mm-hmm. I would actually take better photos because I have this really great camera that's meant for taking photos with an experience that is meant for taking photos instead of having to, like, I tried to take a photo of my dog today and I opened the camera and it was like in the wrong orientation and then it glitched out for a second and then I opened the right camera and then it took a few seconds and the moment was gone. And like, again, I'm not trying to be super critical. The fact that I have this amazing camera in my pocket is like wild. And I do professional video stuff with my iPhone. It's great. But is it great for living? I'm not positive that it's actually great for living. I don't think that the iPhone and the iPad are the right tools for the job at all times anymore. It just isn't the way that it used to be. Because it is doing all of those edge cases that you talked about, it just can't possibly do the things that I want it to do perfectly every time.
Hi, Internet friends. It's John here. Internet Friends is brought to you by my work at Ablaze Interactions, where I solve communication problems for clients who work to repair our world. I can help with information architecture to transform your website, content strategy to tell the right story and reach the right audience, and writing and editing to find the authentic voice of your company or organization, your product, or your idea. Ablaze Interactions has consulted for world-renowned events, political candidates, law firms, nonprofits, and great apps on the App Store. Light up your ideas. Go to ablaze.co and let me know if you're interested in working together.
You know, people treated the iPad, especially this 2018 iPad Pro, as this platonic ideal of a screen-based device that sort of conforms to whatever situation it's in, and you attach, you know, the laptop peripherals if it's going to be a laptop, and you attach the art peripherals if it's going to be for doing art, and you attach the video peripherals if it's for that. And like the iPad as this rectangle that's all screen has been treated as this infinitely flexible device, when the reality is that the whole problem is that it's not flexible. You know, it's like this big rigid piece of glass. You can drop it and destroy it so easily. And the fact that mine is covered in disgusting rainbow finger grease all the time is starting to really get to me too. When you use a tool for doing work, it gets weathered in the pattern of that work. And when you use an iPad, it gets grease on it like the windows of a skyscraper. You know, like you want this like perfectly glass like office where you look out and you see the horizon and you think big thoughts, but really what you have is like handprints all over it. And like that, it doesn't weather the way a tool weathers. It weathers the way like some precious work of artifice weathers, some look at me design object. I don't find myself wanting to have it out in the field with me anymore. I feel like my choice to get the big phone this year is actually proving to be a pretty good choice. It's much sillier to take my phone out in a lot of situations than it used to be. And it's much more awesome to take my phone out in the situations when like I need to take my phone out. You know, like if I need to look at maps, like if I'm lost, having this huge screen is like really helpful for seeing where I'm at. And reading is great too. And, you know, like there are all of the things that are great about having a large screen are being taken care of by this big phone, but it is also becoming more of like a reference device and less of a sort of companion just because of its form factor. And that's helping to some extent, but it's certainly not getting me all the way to this feeling you're describing of like having all of the right tools for the job, like close at hand. And I've been thinking about the Mac, you know, your sort of, I mean, when you started coming back to the Mac, I started to realize like, what is wrong with me? Like, where have I gone wrong? Like I used to be like the Mac was the thing I cared the most about for a long time. And so I've been intentionally just sitting in front of the thing more. And there are some things about the 15-inch MacBook Pro form factor that feel wrong to me. They feel like the wrong choice. And you know, if I were still in the situation that I had, that I actually was mostly with my previous laptop, which was a 13-inch Air, of like moving around in like a recording studio environment and needing to plug different things in and get them all down on the same Logic project, you know, this form factor would make a lot more sense. But I'm not bringing this thing out into the field with me, you know, and I don't even want a Mac out in the world at all. It's not for doing the kinds of things that are done out in the world. So I've been thinking about what my next Mac would be And you know, I think we've talked about it before, but like, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get an iMac, which is not, I haven't had an iMac since I was in, I mean, since the bubble iMac, like it was like the, whichever ones were the transparent, like the fully transparent ones, the one that had the, you know, the conveyor belt CD drive instead of like right. the door that pops open. Like I had that iMac on my desk when I was in high school. And when I went to college, I got a laptop and I've had laptops ever since. I haven't had a desktop Mac since then. And obviously the iMac has become something totally unrecognizably different and vastly more awesome since then. But what I've realized thinking about it is that particularly considering something like the iMac Pro, which is not what I would get unless they do update it soon. But in all likelihood, I'm waiting for the iMac redesign that we all expect is coming. It's been 7 years since there has been one. And, you know, we all kind of assume ARM Macs, like post Intel Macs, are around the corner. And that may be sort of the transition where they redesign the iMac into the, you know, mid 21st century desktop computer. And as I think about the capabilities of that machine and the size of the screen and the quality of the screen, I realized that the idea of sitting at a desk to use a computer, like with a real desk and like a mouse and keyboard in front of you, like that idea really has not like gone away. That idea has not worsened over time as we've had these like portable touch screen devices with us all around. Like,
it sounds great.
We talk about the AR world as being this like, you know, like post screen world where we could just sort of do our work like on the wall instead of having to sit at a thing and do it. But we're still going to need a keyboard for that. Or maybe if we don't need it, we're still going to want it, you know?
Yeah.
And so like for doing that kind of work, it still feels like the desk environment, like it has been for, I don't know, 10,000 years. How long have people sat at desks? Like since the written word was invented, like that, that is a mode of thinking and creating that just is like fundamentally human. And to have the computer be there and have it be so powerful that you don't even think about the idea of like waiting for it to do anything. And to have it have all the room you could possibly need to arrange your digital work, and to have it be capable of blowing up a photograph that you just took to the size of a television, it seems like the right tool for the job in the same sense that we're talking about. And like if we were carrying around, you know, writing devices and recording devices and cameras that were just the best versions of those that they could possibly be, and it was all feeding back into this desktop computer monster machine where you do all of the editing work and all of the publishing work, the stuff that like really does require, you know, human computer interface, there would be no productivity lost in that. And there would probably be a great deal of quality gained from that.
Yes, exactly. I actually have been like fantasizing about the idea of a computer and a desk, you know, like an iMac at a desk and a chair and a clicky mechanical keyboard.
Uh-huh.
Like I've been fantasizing about those things because for the last year or two, I've been living in this incredible house, but it just didn't have a space for a desk at all or anything. It was this big open floor plan house that had a dining area and a kitchen and a living room, but that was it. So even like recording my podcast with you, it took place in a bedroom and my microphone went on a dresser. Like that was the closest that I could have to any of those things. So if I was computing, I was doing it on a couch on my MacBook in my lap. And I have, as I've been thinking about our next home, like every time that we look at a house, I think, oh, well, where would the desk with the computer go?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's funny to have kind of gone backwards that way, but it just sounds so wonderful. And you said once like that you regretted making computers your work.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the idea of actually having to sit down at a computer to work has kind of ruined the space that is computers for creativity.
Yep.
And I think that that's how I feel about the iPhone and iPad now, is I don't want them to do everything anymore. Mm-hmm. I want them to do a few things really well so that when I pick the devices up to do those things, they feel good. Yesterday, I went to a library And I love, now that I have the Apple Pencil that's always charged, and the right-sized iPad Pro, and the cool matte screen protector that makes writing feel really good, I love writing like book notes on my iPad Pro with a physical book beside me. And that is such a rad thing to do with the iPad Pro. You know what's not a rad thing to do with the iPad Pro? Is try to send a freaking iMessage with the keyboard when I click on something and like bugs pop up and then...
The keyboard comes out of the side of the screen instead
yes,
of the bottom.
Yes, yeah. Like all of those little bugs, it's the same thing what you said about when technology does something only 75% of the time, it's worse than doing it never because you can never expect or anticipate it to work, but you never actually expect or anticipate it to fail. So you're always in this middle area where you're like, it should do the thing that I want it to do and it's not. And I would rather it not do the thing at all. And so I'm over here kind of contemplating, how do I make the iPhone and the iPad in my life work 100% of the time, doing the things that I want it to do 100% of the time? Because honestly, if I deleted everything off of my iPad Pro except the three things that feel really, really good, I think I would be better off than right now where it can do everything, but it doesn't do everything perfectly. Mm. And I feel the same way about my iPhone. I would rather not ever take a single photo with the iPhone and put that process or that creative task onto a tool that does it perfectly every time, because I think that experience would be so much better for me. Like this AlphaSmart weird word processor that I'm buying, it's a keyboard. Like that's what it is. Every single time that I type on the AlphaSmart, it's going to be great.
The correct letter is going to appear on the screen.
Yes, because that's all it does. It only knows how to do that, you know? And it's actually kind of like weirdly archaic. I could be wrong about this. There might be an even simpler way of doing this. But I saw somebody like connect it to a computer to, you know, get the words off of this weird little word processor. Mm-hmm. And it seems like how it does it is it's actually key logging.
Yeah.
And then it opens a blank note on your computer and types it all out again.
God, that's so cool. That's so cool.
It is, right? Like it's so weird.
So it's not, what you're saying is it's not, there is no text file on the device. There is a record of your keystrokes, which you have the ability to correct on a screen.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
And so you literally plug it into your Mac and it opens a text, you know, a blank note file, and then it just retypes every single thing as you typed it. I'm assuming including the like delete,
yeah.
You know, like all of those things just get sent over to your Mac one letter at a time. But that sounds freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Like I'm so excited to see that happen. And it lends like a physicality to the idea of writing, mm-hmm. while not sacrificing it to pen and paper, where it's like, well, now I have to freaking transcribe this onto my computer if I want people to see it. Like, I don't know. I'm just in this mode where I want to experiment with tools that are good at doing the one thing they are meant to do to see if it makes the whole experience of technology better for me.
I accept your premise that finding tools that feel like the right tool for the job is something that you can do in the abstract. You know when the stuff you've got isn't working, you can isolate what isn't working and find a better thing and that works for that use case, and then you have your tools. I accept the premise that can be done sort of in advance of whatever you do with the stuff. But what I'm wondering is, are you deliberately waiting and seeing what starts to come out once you have these tools figured out? Or is there like some project of figuring out what you want to make that you are gonna complete before the work begins, but this tool stuff is a part of the process of figuring it out?
I don't know if I have a good answer for that. I do know that the one thing that I've been recognizing over the last year is, you know, I kind of complained about like, where do photos go? Because everything that I do is so community oriented. So I'm not satisfied with taking a bunch of beautiful photos with my Leica and then just having them. And I'm also not satisfied with putting them on my Instagram because that feels weird and disingenuous in a kind of way that I don't know exactly how to describe. But what I have recognized is, if I own what I'm saying, which is I like creating because of the communal aspect of sharing the things that I create, then I just need to start freaking creating in ways that feel communal. There are plenty of people that would feel appreciative of me taking photos of them or for them or of their businesses or of the things that they're doing. Like, I have artist friends that would love to have photos taken of their projects or themselves or whatever it might be. And there are plenty of things that are worth talking about in the world that I should be writing about, because it's a tool to share about the things that I care about and the community-oriented things that are all around me at every time. And I'm just not doing it right now because I'm instead browsing Twitter. And I think that the real question that I need to figure out is, am I leaving those things behind? Does all of this mean that what I really should do is like fully embrace this and like turn my iPhone and iPad into three app devices? Or am I content with the way that I use those devices, even though they're distracting? Because that's just the way of the world now. You know, you and I have both gotten jobs from Twitter and that kind of thing. Yeah, like,
my record continues to be 100%.
But if I had these devices, I would spend less time on my iPhone and iPad, because today I opened up day one to write something and then I closed it and then I browsed Twitter for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had used my Alpha Smart Neo 2, by the way, I love referring to it in its entire name because it's so like early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the Neo is compared to the Neo 2. But you know, if I opened that instead, I would probably not browse Twitter, right? I might have written more than I did on my iPad because I had this canvas that was meant specifically for writing, and I had this tool in front of me that was so good at doing this one thing without allowing me to move to something distracting. Like, I think that's the question that I want to figure out. If I brought my camera with me everywhere, would I pick that up and take that out and take a bunch of photos instead of taking one photo and moving on? Like, these are the questions that I need to really consider, and I want to spend time with tools that are good at doing one thing to see if that changes my creative process in any way. Hello, internet friends, it's Drew, and I want to tell you about Key House. There's a quote from Kurt Vonnegut that I read, tucked away in an essay he wrote about the seasons, where he said that he thought that the idea of four seasons was a lie. Instead, we should have six. Fall doesn't move to winter, and winter doesn't move to spring. Instead, he thought the season should be like so. Summer, fall, locking, winter, unlocking, and spring. I believe there's a beautiful poetry to the idea that creation itself requires a time of unlocking before anything of substance can bloom. And perhaps you're listening to this message right now, stuck between what you're doing and what you want to do for the rest of your life, realizing that you might be in that cruel season of unlocking too. Find your own space for unlocking. Go to Keyhouse, KEYHOU.SE, and let's find the key.
My feeling about iPhones and iPads and what to have on them has kind of changed to, I mean, I don't know if how much of a change this is, but certainly at various times I've had a kind of like, let's be minimal. I may have never gone as far as you have gone sometimes in sort of making the phone into a minimal thing that's like presenting me with only the few things that I want to do on it. But I have definitely at times had fewer apps on my phone, or like removed Twitter from my phone altogether, or various things like that. And I've started to moderate my stance on that lately, just to like the idea that the I need to be able to do anything I need to do with those devices right away, and the lack of a particular app being installed on the device could throw up a big obstacle, and that could be Twitter. Like, that app that I need in that situation could be the Twitter app. Like, I may need to respond to get a DM or something like that that needs to happen right away.
Right.
So the way that both of my devices are currently set up is, at the top level, the folders and the arrangement of the icons is all about just like presenting me with the path to all of the things that I have needed to do to the best of my ability, prioritized by how often I need to do them. And it's not really about like that intentional, like, I'm going to make a photograph. Like, I need to create the workflow to, like, write a blog post every day. You know, like, that's like, I'm not doing the aspirational thing anymore. It's like, here are all of the things that I have to use my phone for in various situations, arranged by priority. And like, Twitter and Instagram are pretty far down in that priority scheme, but they're still there because I need them sometimes. But the idea of having a tool to do the things that I want to do that's easier to get to than that software on that device, the psychology of that's very compelling to me. Because as we've talked about a million times, even in our nerdiest, most productivity obsessed, like iOS nerd days, we've talked about the central problem basically being that it's too hard to get started doing a particular thing, you know? And like even back to like the Launch Center Pro days of like trying to arrange the muscle memory in terms of actions instead of like launch the app first. And it's the same as the drafts philosophy. It's like, if what you need to do is type words, the first thing you should do is type words, and then you can figure out what to do with it, you know, like breaking out of that app model. Like that is the same psychology as, you know, having a camera that you just turn on and point and push the shutter button, instead of launching an app and hoping that it launches without, you know, bugs that prevent the screen from turning on. But it's even less, it's even more extreme. I feel like if there's a pen and paper, like there is no friction between like wanting to start doing the thing, picking up the tool and starting to do the thing. And so, I guess what I'm saying about the big phone idea is like, I might be moving myself towards a world in which I keep the phone in the bag, you know, instead of in my pocket. And the, you know, the watch tells me if there's anything that I actually need to know that would require me to go into that bag and get the phone. But like, if I wanted to take photos on that excursion, like hang a camera around my neck instead of keeping the phone in my pocket.
Yes, exactly that. Not to derail this conversation, but you brought up drafts. Uh-huh. And that is a really great example of something that I was like, man, I'm going to finally, after 10 years or however long it's been, get into drafts. And I put it in my dock and I started using it and it was like going really well. And then every time I opened it for 2 days, it would just crash. So I have no idea what happened. I finally had to just delete the app and reinstall it to make it work. But, you know, that's not building the case for using the iPhone as my text entry device.
Sounds like an iCloud problem, but that, yes, it doesn't instill confidence in the system.
It actually makes me want to, you know, pull an Alpha Smart again, right? And like find a iPhone from 3 years ago that, you know, has an old version of drafts on it or whatever. But the nature of the iPhone just doesn't really allow for that. You know, it's like you have to either have the newest version and just deal with the bugs or nothing. Like there's no in between. And it's a weird thing because the mental model of creating, I think, is dependent on the idea of building habit. And it's hard to build a habit with the iPhone and iPad because of how they're constantly changing.
And breaking,
yeah. the changing part, I think, is right because they're young devices that have so much exponential growth. Like, there's so much room for them to grow. I do hope that text entry gets better and better over the years. I do hope that things like reminders get better and better over the years, right? I don't want them to stagnate. But at the same time, it's so hard to rely on them as creative tools when the way that they work changes, not even every year, but every few months because of little bugs and little problems that come up. I feel very similar to you in that idea of wanting to just leave my phone in my bag. I was actually at a dog park today and I pulled everything out of my pockets because I had to grab my AirPods and there was dogs running around me and things. It was just like, oh, I need to take everything out of my pockets right now. And my impulse was to stick my phone in my, in a zipper pocket of my backpack and pull something else out and not worry about my phone or think about it again for the next hour or two. The watch does allow you to offload all of the important things of the phone, right? Text messages, phone calls,
email directions, audio playback.
It allows you to have those things on your person in a way that's really good. But at the same time, it's not quite enough. I don't know. It's like I feel stuck in a place here where the phone does them all better to a degree. So it feels necessary. Although then the problem comes up of like, I also feel weirdly, crazily like I need two phones sometimes. Like because it does everything, right? Like I'm driving around LA now and I don't know where I'm going half the time, so it's my GPS. But then I want to look something up, but then I have to leave the GPS behind, and it's doing so many things at all times that I feel like I need another dedicated device because I need to let it just do one thing really well. And if you try to get it to do two things at once, it starts to feel complicated and crazy. And that's just living. That's not creating, right? Yeah. That's like doing it, doing all the things that normal people are doing every day.
Yeah.
Not the thing, not the weird niche cases that I'm trying to make happen. It's challenging to try and figure out how to make this happen. But what I do know is that offloading creative tasks to one creative task tools feels like the right move.
Yeah. I can't really imagine how I'm going to do that. But like this carrying this notebook in my pocket has got to be the place where it starts, because like writing is, I don't know, writing has been the primary thing that I've done creatively for my career and for all of the sort of extracurricular things around my career. Like writing has always been the first place, if not the final place, where a project takes flight. And the idea of taking my phone out to do that, I mean, I do it sometimes. I do it a lot. I write on the phone a lot. But and I've talked before, I think, about working on works in progress on my phone. And that I'm not giving up. You know, like if I'm like 5,000 words into something and it's like in my iCloud and I'm going for a walk if I get stuck, you know, and like having a max size phone has really just changed everything as far as that goes. Cause it's like not even difficult to do anymore. I don't think that like that I'm stuck, so I'm going for a walk situation is what we're talking about. Like we want to get to that point more often, mm-hmm. right? Like this is more about starting and finding things. And you know, I don't know what kinds of habits to create. I feel like this is another podcast almost, you know, like every other podcast is like about like, how do I come up with the practices to get this into my life in a rigorous way that results in output. Maybe, I mean, I have a feeling that people tend to overthink that kind of stuff and like whatever obstacle is preventing you from doing it is probably more easily surmountable than it seems. You just have added like fear and procrastination into the mix. And like just having the thing in my pocket, you know, I intentionally got this case. So I'm into the Baron Fig line of paper and pen products. I feel like you'll be pretty into it if you check it out. It's a little bit whimsical. Like there's like the pen has a sword on it, like a little video game sword. They have like the colors are very kind of pastel and interesting. It's a very, very different thing from like a Field Notes vibe. They're more blank and a little more like play fancy, I guess is how I would put it.
Yeah.
But they're also very high quality. And so I use the pocket size notebook, which is a little bit smaller than a Field Notes notebook. And they make this leather wallet kind of thing. I guess it is, that's what I would call it, is a wallet that you stick the back cover into a flap, and it's basically like a protector for the thing, and it has little pockets inside. So I keep some cards inside the wallet too. And it's about the same thickness as an iPhone when it's closed, but it's a little more flexible, obviously. And it's not as tall. And that and the little pen that they make in a little leather like sheath, they make this nice like spate, like aluminum pen, and it's small and it fits inside this little sheath. And so these two things can fit in my pocket and they can go in the same pocket as my phone and actually kind of protect the screen because it's this soft leather. And this is a thing. I haven't really lived up to this promise, but when I got the thing, I was like, the idea behind getting this thing is that it will be in the same pocket as my phone. And when I reach into that pocket, I will have to make a decision every time I reach into my pocket about which thing to take out of my pocket. I feel like confronting myself with that choice is a really good idea. And it's very likely that I'll feel like there's much less friction for me to get down whatever's in there from taking out the notebook in certain more high focus creative situations. Like, obviously I'm going to go with drafts if I am moving and I have to get an idea down, but having this as the like sitting down method of capturing, like right there, seems like an obvious place to start. And that's the only one I've come up with, but it may be the only one I need really to sort of make all the difference.
Talking about that as a place to start, this kind of weird desire of mine to move to one use tools kind of feels like the same thing for me in terms of it's my way of reminding myself of what I actually want to do and freeing up the technology that I've grown accustomed to for the things that it's actually good at.
Or just necessary for.
The iPhone is good at being a camera. It is good at being a text editor. Mm-hmm. It is good at being a voice recorder. Like, it's good at all of those things. But that's not the thing that it does. Like, when I think about what it does in my life, it sends text messages. It takes phone calls. It browses the web. It does those things really well. Mm-hmm. And it, honestly, as somebody who's like high input, it is incredible at being an input generator. I'm constantly finding amazing things that fascinate me because of my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I want that to become the thing that it is really good at and offload the things that it is merely capable of doing to tools that are actually incredible at doing those things. The pictures I take with the iPhone, they're awesome. They're so crazy that they come out of an iPhone. The pictures that I take with my Leica blow the freaking iPhone photos away. There's just no way that it can compare because it's a different tool. And my Leica, shockingly, does not tweet, right? It does not voice record. It takes videos, but God, it really shouldn't. Like, it is a photo camera, and that is what it does, and that is what it does incredibly. And I want to start leaning on those tools more because I know that when I use them, I just feel so much better, and I want to do things with them because I'm proud of them. I don't know. I'm experimenting with this idea of offloading things so that I just enjoy technology again, so that I'm not grumpy when my iPhone has a weird bug. The one that I kept sending you that I love so much is I kept pulling down Spotlight and the keyboard would slowly rise up.
I can't make my device do that, but I really, really admire this bug.
It is like how Dracula rises up out of his coffin. Like, it is so creepy and strange, and I just don't know why it does it. And it happens like once every 2 days. The other one that I have, I don't even know if I've shared with you or not, is every single time I open photos.app, it takes me back to a day in like 2012. Like, it's like July 6, 2012. Every single time I open the Photos app, it just scrolls halfway up, or, you know, more than halfway up to a single day in Ybor City for me. Like, and I don't know why.
That is super strange.
It's so strange, right? But like, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to open the Photos app because of that. It's frustrating to open Spotlight because of the weird Dracula keyboard. And I just don't want to have to worry about those things anymore. And I don't if I'm using a Leica that every single time predictably works exactly how I want it to because it does that one thing. I think I will write more if every single time I open this weird Alpha Smart Neo 2, it opens a blank text document, or I imagine the text document that I was editing last. Like, that sounds awesome. And I just think that if I do those things, then when I open my iPad, when I open my iPhone, I will just do the things there that it does really well. And it'll make me happy again, as opposed to the grumpy person that I am right now, because I'm trying to make these devices do everything and they simply can't, or they can, but not well.
You set up a dichotomy just now between what the phone is good at and what this like tailor-made tools for these creative activities are good at, that I feel like really simplifies the mental part of this problem in a way that I think we should try and hold ourselves to. You basically divided it into input and output. Basically, you're talking the whole time. You've been talking about wanting to increase output, like you want to make more things. Mm-hmm. The phone, the distractions, the obstacles that the phone is throwing up to you having more output are input distractions, right?
Yeah.
And so like the phone is really excellent at providing input, and the, you know, we've named a bunch of media for that already, and social media certainly counts, but books count. For me, it's audio. I bet you if I were using screen, if I hadn't turned off screen time because I was convinced that it was slowing down my devices and causing all kinds of problems, I would probably find that like 50% or more of my device usage at this point is about audio playback.
Yeah.
Because there's three media for it now. There's Endel, there's podcasts, and there's music. And I'm listening to way more music lately. It's awesome. I feel like we should talk about that at some point. The beautiful thing about making that dichotomy, like I'm very comfortable making that division, because the phone surely is for creative output, but like you could think of that as sort of a secondary function of it. If you have certainly if you have better tools for making stuff than the phone is just a compromise tool that is capable of making things. But what it's really good is input, and so it becomes what feels like kind of a simple equation. It's not an easy equation. It's not an easy thing to hold yourself to. You've got to really be disciplined about when you're doing input and when you're doing output. But I think that is what it comes down to, is like, how do you become rigorous about when you're going to take in input, which is a necessary part of the creative process, and when are you going to be putting stuff out, and only do one at a time. And don't let yourself switch to input in the middle of an output session. You know, there are probably all kinds of other ways, all kinds of other tricks and, you know, scheduling things and ways we could come up with to sort of reinforce this habit. But I don't think there could be a better one, or certainly a better place to start than the one you've laid out here, which is just what is in your hand right now. Is it the phone, which we're deciding right now is an input device, or is it a tool for making something that you're going to go use?
Yeah. And I think like, it's funny because it's slightly frustrating to talk about this, because that was the whole conversation around the iPad for the first 6 years of its existence, right? Is like, this is an input device. It's not a creative device. And
yeah,
people got all mad about it and tried to prove how it is. And I was one of those people that I was like, no, I actually think that this is a really good output device. I think that I much more enjoy writing on this than I have enjoyed writing on my MacBook for a long time. I think that this is much more like, you know, I will be editing this podcast on my iPad. Like, it's a great tool for creating things. It is also an incredible tool for input. Like, it's just so freaking good at letting you browse around the web and read Twitter and do all of those things. And I just don't want to conflate the two anymore, especially when I have dedicated tools that are much better at doing the things that they're set up to do than a multi-purpose device could ever be.
Well, the editing the podcast, you know, points back to what we were saying about the iMac and the desk. That like it's there is a kind of digital work that's required in making things, but it's more the work of finishing the thing than starting the thing. And that may never change, because like the internet is where we publish things, sending the finished product to whoever is receiving it. Like the computer interface is where we finish the project, and that is fine. That's the way it should be. And you know, I consider that to be one of those necessary secondary functions of the iPad. You know, where like, and it, obviously, I'm oversimplifying it a little bit, because editing audio, for example, is one of those things where people are starting to say, no, I actually prefer to do this on an iPad with a pencil, when it was before one of those things that people would say, well, you should really just be doing that on a Mac. It's much easier to do it on a Mac. And like, maybe it is more complicated than that now, that like maybe there are good reasons to use an iPad for it. But I think that's beside the point. I think that using computers to finish things is perfectly natural. If you hand write, like, have you ever handwritten an email before? because I have.
No.
And like, I when it's like a really heartfelt, important thing that I need to say to someone, I have sat down and written it out. It's been a long time since I've done this, but like, I have written into a notebook the message that I want to send to someone. And then once I know I've got it, I go type it up and send it. And like, I would do that on my phone if I were in a, you know, if I went to go sit somewhere beautiful to write the letter, you know, like that's a perfect opportunity for the iPhone to let me be to be a finishing device for me. You know, all these things still apply about like the best computer for the job, the best form factor for where you are and what you need to do. But it's not a compromise to me of this creative pact we're making with ourselves about our input devices and our output devices to say that like we should have an iPad in our backpack so that we can finish the thing once we've started it. It's really just about, you know, making a disciplined choice to go into creativity mode. And, you know, if we were perfectly disciplined to use those secondary creative features of the iPhone without opening Twitter, that would be fine. But like, maybe we're not. And you know,
we sure aren't.
Impose the discipline one way or another, but like, do it. That's the point. And like, if you know, being present, if only having the choice to do the thing that you're there to do, and not have a million other choices is the way to set yourself up for that. I mean, that's the key. And so, you know, absolutely. For $10, like, why not get yourself the tool that forces you into that mindset?